Please welcome Kenneth.
Well, I'm a poor substitute for John, but this is the best I can do. You have a very wise teacher in John. He was smart enough this weekend to be in Florida, yes, while we are here shivering in the cold. God bless John. The passage that I'm going to teach from this morning is found in the book of John, chapter 10. Just a few verses I'd like to read for you. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. It reads thus. Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling flees, because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. So we've come into this new year, 2025, and already we have faced tragedy, violence by man there in New Orleans, and then violence by nature there in the LA area with all of the fires burning down there. Nothing is assured. It's a dangerous world. And so we need someone to lead us and to guide us. And today, I'd like to talk about looking at Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to help us through this new year, 2025. Last week, I had the opportunity to speak at the New Horizons class, and I was led to speak on the same message, and I thought I was doing pretty good in the class, and all of a sudden in the middle of the lesson somebody fell off the chair and landed thud on the ground. I said, boy, am I that boring? He fell asleep. Or is the message that good that he felt so good at peace that he fell asleep? Well, you take your pick. But he recovered, and they took him to the back to make sure he's okay, and he stayed for the whole lesson. So God bless that dear brother. I'm sure he was more embarrassed than I was in the whole process. But here we would like to look at Jesus as the Good Shepherd from three dimensions. First of all, he is the Good Shepherd exclusively. Secondly, he is the Good Shepherd exquisitely. And then lastly, he is the Good Shepherd exceptionally. So let's look at the Good Shepherd exclusively. Now, we all know one way or another the seven famous I am statements made by Jesus in the Gospel of John. Let me just review them very quickly. The seven I am statements of Jesus. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the true vine. And today, I am the good shepherd. Why is this I am so significant? Because it is constructed and stated in an unusual way. It's not normal to say it this way in the Greek language that Christ spoke. He said, I am the good shepherd. And the word I am, there is a redundancy there. Because he uses the word ego, which is I, ego. I, me, which means I am. So you put the two together, ego, I, me, you are I am. So it's a repetition, but it serves to communicate some truth that goes back to the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, the Hebrew equivalent of this ego, I, me, are the words of God, God himself. When Moses was being commissioned by God to be the leader of the people of Israel, you recall that Moses made all kinds of excuses that he is not fit to do it. And then he asked God, if I tell the people that you sent me, and they ask me, what is his name that sent you? What is your name? And the Lord simply answered in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14, I am who I am. So we see the redundancy there. I am who I am, the ever-living present. Not I was or I will be. God is always the same. So we have here the name of God that is given here. The most important name in the Old Testament is the name Yahweh. I am who I am. And Yahweh occurs in the Old Testament 6,800 times. That's how important this name is. And this is the exclusive name of the Old Testament God to the Jewish people. There is no other Yahweh. There's only one Yahweh. And we read in Isaiah 42 and verse 8, God saying, I am the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Whenever you see that in your Bible, Lord in all caps, is the name Yahweh. Okay, so I am the Lord. In other words, in the Hebrew, it simply reads, I am Yahweh, and that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. He is exclusively the Elohim, the God of the Old Testament, whose name is Yahweh. And then we find that this Yahweh claims to be the shepherd of his people. How amazing. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, he says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead them that are with young. Yahweh is the shepherd of his people. And then Psalm 80 and verse 1, it says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou who leadest Joseph like a flock, thou who dwellest between the cherubim. It is Yahweh in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle, where the Ark of the Covenant is situated, and the towering angels facing each other, God sits there on the mercy seat. That's the throne room of God. That's where God sits, and he is the shepherd of Israel. And we all know Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Lord, that's the word Yahweh. Yahweh is my shepherd. Yahweh Rohi. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. So here we find that Yahweh is the exclusive shepherd of his people Israel. And that is in the Old Testament throughout. And we come to the New Testament, we find that Jesus says, Ego I me, I myself am the good shepherd. Expressly, it simply means I and none other is the good shepherd. Emphatically, he says, I am and no other, the good shepherd. There is the definite article, not a good shepherd, but he is the only one, the good shepherd. And then conclusively, we can state that Jesus is the one and only good shepherd in all the whole world, both now and forever. So Jesus is the good shepherd exclusively, hands down. Bill Gaither, many years ago, wrote a song that we used to sing. I don't hear it anymore, but you may recognize the song, Gentle Shepherd. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come and feed us, for we need your strength from day to day. There's no other we can turn to who can help us face another day. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. So that's Jesus, the Good Shepherd, exclusively. Secondly, we see Jesus as the Good Shepherd exquisitely. Yes, there are two words for good. They are sometimes used synonymously, and other times they have their own separate connotations. Two words for good in the Greek language. The first one is the word agathos. Agathos. Agathos has the idea of moral goodness as opposed to evil. Moral goodness. Like in the New Testament, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he asked him, Master, what good thing can I do to have eternal life? And Jesus responds to him, Why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that is God. That's agathos, moral goodness, as opposed to evil. The second word is the word kalos, K-A-L-O-S. And this has to do with aesthetic goodness, intrinsic goodness. For example, a good tree brings forth good fruit. A good ground will bring forth plentifully. So with kalos, you have these other connotations, like the idea of being ideal, winsome, lovely, beautiful, excellent, noble, worthy. These are the words you get. And Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd, kalos. So what do you gather from that? Exquisiteness here. Because we go back to the Old Testament and look at the description of David when he was presented before Samuel. Remember, Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint a new king. And Jesse brought his seven big sons before Samuel, and he rejects each one. And he said, don't you have any more sons? Oh yes, we have a little stripling of a lad. He's out taking care of the flock. Well, bring him in, and we'll stand and wait for him to come. And here, David is brought in. And the Bible describes him in his terms of his appearance. We read this in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 12. Quote, he was ruddy. Wow. Been in the sun? He has, because he's out as a shepherd. Yeah, he was ruddy and beautiful countenance. Yeah, that's not enough. And handsome. Yes. And so the Jewish writing, the Midrash Rabban, calls David the king as the handsome shepherd. Yes. And so we find that Jesus is the good shepherd. We can translate that as, I am the beautiful shepherd. I am the handsome shepherd. And so we find artistic rendition, you know, of the good shepherd by artists. And have you ever found an ugly one? An ugly shepherd? remember many years ago when I was still pastoring in Centerville, Ohio, that we had a back patio and we had three sheep made out of clay or stone, and we needed a shepherd to go with that, you know, the shepherd and the sheep. And we shopped all over and really couldn't find one. And we made a trip to Chicago for some other purposes. And lo and behold, near the Chicago area, we saw a big garden store. And we were excited. They probably will have to have a shepherd. So we walked in and inquired from the sales clerk, do you have a shepherd? And then he said, yes, we have one. Go to the patio department and you'll have all kinds of decorations there. And we went in there and looked, couldn't find the shepherd. We came back to the clerk and we asked him, where is the shepherd? And he took us in again. There it is. And he pointed out, where? Yeah, right over there. That German shepherd dog. No, we are looking for a handsome, the good shepherd, exquisitely. And so I'm reminded of Keith Green's old chorus. Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. And when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. So he is the good shepherd, exquisitely. And now finally we see that Jesus is the good shepherd exceptionally. And exceptionally for two reasons. Here in the passage before us, Jesus Christ says, Ego I me, I am the good shepherd in verse 11. And then in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, Ego I me. And for both of those, he gives a reason. First of all, in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Why? How? The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. That's the first reason. Jesus is so good. He gives his life for his sheep. And in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. Why is he the good shepherd? Because he knows his sheep. So let's take a look at these two briefly. The first reason he gives as to why he is a good shepherd is because he gives his life for his sheep. Now, this imagery of the shepherd is drawn from the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, the word shepherd is used figuratively as a name for Jewish leaders and those in authority, like kings and governing officials. They were the shepherds in the Old Testament. And we find that in many occasions, these shepherds were derelict in their duty in taking care of the flock. And God would bring prophetic indictment against the mishandling of the shepherds. And so we read in Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 4, "Woe unto the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Ye have scattered my flock, driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord." And the same idea is repeated again in Ezekiel chapter 34, the first two verses. "Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flocks?" So here we find that many of the Old Testament leaders fail to do their responsibility as shepherds. But then God makes a prediction in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 23 and 24. And this prophetic prediction, God says, "I will set up one shepherd over them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd." And here, David indeed is symbolic of the great messianic shepherd that God is going to send. And that shepherd came in the form of Jesus Christ. And he indeed is the good shepherd. So his offering was indeed exceptional. He promised, "I will lay down my life for the sheep." Why does he lay down his life for the sheep? Well, here's the contrast. You have the hireling, the hired hand. When he sees the wolf coming, he flees and he leaves the sheep defenseless. Why? He doesn't care much for the sheep. But this, he is a good shepherd. Why? Because he's willing to lay down his life for the sake of the sheep. Protect the sheep at all cost, even at the cost of his own life. And we find that David of old did exactly that. He talked about himself with his bare hands pursuing the lion and the bear that snatched away one of the lamb and was able to slay them at the risk of his own life. He was able to do that. And now you have the greater David, Jesus himself. He is the good shepherd. And voluntarily, he gives up his life. Verse 18 of John 10. "No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power, authority to lay it down. And I have authority to pick it up." So here we have the demonstration of Jesus' exceptional care and concern for the sheep. I was reading in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32 when Paul says, "God, who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he with him also freely give us all things?" Yes, and the shepherd gives us all things. We turn to Psalm 23, verse 1. He says, "I am the good shepherd." And then we go on to verse 5. He says, where the believer speaks, he says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." So thou preparest a table. A table here indeed represents bounty. Yes. In the presence of mine enemies. The enemies are there, but you dine. Why? Because you are being protected by this shepherd. Thou anointest my head with oil. Oil, anointing, is indeed to honor somebody. And here we find you are being honored by the Lord. My cup runs over. It's the cheeks of bounty and abundance. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, all the days of 2025. So that's the first reason he gives his life for his sheep. And the second reason why he is the good shepherd is because of his claim, I know my sheep. And here you got to take the word know in the context of the Hebrew understanding of knowing. The Western understanding of knowing is basically intellectual, rational, and conceptual knowledge. You know, we analyze things and all. But in the Jewish idea, knowing has to do with relationships, you see. I know you as a friend. It is experiential. And this is the knowing that Jesus is talking about. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. This is exceptional relationship. You have the whole idea of a personal intimacy with the shepherd. Personal intimacy with the good shepherd. And the model of this intimacy is stated by Jesus in verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, and as I know the Father. What is that relationship between Jesus and the Father? Very intimate, very personal. And so is the relationship between the good shepherd and his sheep. And so we find that this knowing indeed is complete knowledge. Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, knows me. He knows all of my problems, my physical issues. You know, we get older. Yeah, and getting old is not for the faint. It's for those who have become tough. Because every day you get up, you're not knowing whether you can actually get out of bed. And you praise the Lord when you finally get out of bed. And you're feeling okay. You're able to walk. Praise the Lord for another day. Yes, we need the good shepherd in situations like that. And then, of course, our financial situation, they get depleted. You know, less and less money left to count on. Who is going to take care of me 5 years from now? Will I still have anything in the bank left? Well, the good shepherd, he will indeed provide. I shall not want. Yes, he knows my spiritual need. When I'm up or when I'm down or when I'm discouraged, my emotional needs. I cannot sing, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. We can't say that every day. But the good shepherd is there to lead us to that day. My job, my challenges, my difficulties, my personal weaknesses, my failures, my handicaps, and my personal foibles. If you knew all of those things that I have within me, you possibly may not like me anymore. But the good shepherd, he knows everything about all the difficulties I have, all my foibles, and he still wants me. He wants me to be his good shepherd. How wonderful it is. And so that's the reason I want to follow this wonderful shepherd. And so we are on the eve of inauguration day tomorrow, where our new president is going to be inaugurated. He's going to be the leader of the nation. In a literal sense, he's going to be our next big shepherd to lead the nation. And many of us trusted him that he will do that. And therefore, he's going to be placed in office. Yes, 2025 is ahead of us. We need a leader more than a political leader. We need a personal leader to personally lead us along and guide us through life's dangerous pathway. Yes, choose the good shepherd. Elect the good shepherd and follow him throughout 2025. And so, God, thank you. Thank you for being so gracious to us, so kind and so merciful, that you sent your only begotten Son to become the greatest shepherd ever, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd of our souls. We thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Thank you.